25 minutes to 10. This is ABC Far North, and it's a Monday, and it means that it's the time of the morning where we catch up with our business futurist, Morris Mislowski, who's always got one eye on the future. We're not entirely convinced that he doesn't actually live there. Morris Mislowski, welcome back.
It's good to be back. I'm not sure what I do with my other eye, but good to be back.
One eye on the future, one eye on the past, just making sure no one's coming up behind you. Morris, we're talking renewable energy power storage this morning because, well, is there any bigger an issue, really, when you consider the renewable debate that's going on at the moment? There's a constant point where you reach people describing the issue of baseload power and that the suggestion that there can be technology that can capture and store the energy created by renewables could be a solution to those concerns raised. And of course, recently, not only the arrival of the Tesla Powerwall here for residential locations in Australia, but also that massive announcement to install the largest grid-scale battery by Elon Musk in, what, I think, Morris, 100 days, or it's free, kind of like a pizza delivery?
Yeah, absolutely. A set of steak knives comes along with it as well. Look, it was a really, really interesting announcement on so many levels. Now, you've got to love Elon Musk because he really does come to the fore at all of these junctions. You know, he talks about transport and then decides he's going to invent some new form of transport, gets stuck in LA traffic and decides he doesn't want to go above ground anymore and starts digging tunnels literally within a week underground. And he's been involved in energy for quite a while. He's had Tesla, which we know, which is the electric car that's doing relatively well in sales. He also has SolarCity, which is less well known, and he's had that for, I think, coming up to about 7 years. And that was an attempt to put solar energy into the homes around California by giving them roof tiles that collected it. But he did it in a very clever way. He gave it to them for free as long as he could channel all the energy. So he went into suburbs right. And said, here are all sorts of panels, they're free, you can use the energy, but I get to keep the excess of it. And what he's done along the road of these thinking differently type approaches is say, look, I think I can resolve part of this issue about storing electricity. And he's using batteries that you and I have in our mobile phone. It's the same lithium battery. It, of course, is much larger and the technology that manipulates it is different. But at its core, it's the phone battery. And says, look, currently any battery that you have in home will store it, but it dissipates. It loses itself very quickly, and you've got to continue to fill it up. His batteries, his point of difference is that you can fill it, and it remains filled indefinitely. So it is really like a storage tank, like a water storage tank for electricity. And this is what he's offered to the South Australian government.
So, help us to understand, Morris, where this sits, one, within a plausibility scale, because heaps of people still, I don't think, believe that the technology is at the place yet that it can do the things that he's promising. But, of course, there's plenty of other people that argue that that's exactly where we're at the cusp of. And both, you know, within that residential context with the power walls themselves, plus this farm. So, how do you view it? Where do you view it?
Look, I think this is an interesting point. I don't think it's going to resolve the issue we have. The reason I like it is because it's a conversation different from the one we have. It also points to what I think will be the answer down the track, and that is decentralized. We have had this energy source for the last 150 years being mostly oil and gas, and that's really unusual in mankind because traditionally, going back, we change energy sources every 50 to 70 years because we've run out of what we have. There's a huge infrastructure that you and I are very much a part of, the oil, the electricity, the gas that we use, and getting rid of that has really been the major issue. So there hasn't been a great impetus to change, and there hasn't been a great way to change. What he's done is he's come along and he said, look, forget all of those legacy systems, they're great and they're wonderful, but we don't need them anymore. I can do something really quick and cheap, and we can jump over that and begin to change what energy might be, how it's delivered and how it's stored. This, in its reality, even if it does come about, and I think it will, at best can only serve 30,000 homes. It will not do it consistently. It's meant to be a top-up, so that if something goes wrong with the grid, as it did last year in South Australia, which caused this, it should be able to kick in and see those 30,000 homes or so over a couple of days. I think he will achieve it. I think he'll do it in these 100 days. But it has to be put into that context. This is not the Holy Grail yet, but it does very much point to it.
So the base load still is required, even in this context? Because my understanding, right, Morris, is that the South Australians do actually drag in a lot of their power from the Victorian grid, and that's kind of what went wrong last time?
Yeah, it did. I mean, a whole lot of reasons went wrong. It's just that there wasn't enough electricity around. They could have dragged enough in, and there wasn't a way to generate more. So as far as I'm aware, and it's really loose around this, we don't really have any firm understanding. We don't even know how much the South Australian government's truly paying for this or what they believe to be the payoff on it. But as far as we're told, this is just meant to be a backup system. It will kick in when the other system does not work. It may be able to do more, but I've not seen it touted as an ongoing way to store and to use the energy for those 30,000 homes.
What about within those single homes? The Powerwall by them is not the only tech which is out there attempting to achieve this. And yes, maybe the technology is not quite there yet, but we may be looking at something as disruptive as a battery pack that literally can do what they're describing sometime in the very near future.
Well, it's available right now. Literally, you can buy it online. So Tesla has an at-home purpose that will sell in Australia. It's kind of around, if you're an early adopter and you're willing to struggle a bit to get it, for just under $10,000, and will come to Australia in a bigger way, in other words, readily available retail in the next year or so. And it's a power wall that you put into your own home. It takes solar energy and it does exactly the same as this battery. It will store and you can use it then for your own purposes and put more back into the grid if you wish to. That's a really interesting piece of technology. It's being adopted already by a whole lot of developers and builders as part of a future build. I personally think if it proves itself up, council should insist on that being part of a build of a new home, and it's easily retrofitted. So that and the technologies that follow it, I think, are part of the answer of moving forward.
There are still concerns, aren't there, Morris, that having a massive big lithium-ion battery on the side of your house is maybe not the coolest thing?
Well, I think it's the coolest thing if you're a geek or a nerd. But I,
well,
I
sure,
get,
but
I,
you know what I mean.
I get what you're saying, but the reality is that this thing could blow, it could cause issues.
They have in the past.
Yeah, they absolutely have, and I'm not discounting that, and certainly we need to be careful and mindful of that, and we'll make our decisions. But you know, pretty much everything we put into our home is the same, the hot water service, the electricity that comes into it, all of that has those kinds of built-in issues. I don't see that in as being any different than anything else we put into our home. I believe it to be fairly safe. I would hope that the authorities that authorise it, because it just can't be off the shelf put in because we want to, the statutory authorities have to agree to it, that they've done their homework as best as they can.
Now, look, and as far as this tech's concerned, I know people who have been utilising technology very similar to this for close to two decades, where they've run completely off the grid, they've got solar panels, and they have essentially a homemade battery pack, but nevertheless a battery pack that keeps it going the entire time. They only have to revert to Jenny if there's quite a few days in a row where the sun doesn't shine as much as they'd like it to. Mm. So 20 years ago, that's been happening. What's the disruption point, Morris? What's the point where this tech actually turns things around? Is it about a price point, a size point? How do you view that coming up?
I think it goes back to our friend Elon. It's really being pushed back into the public. Yeah, what you've just described is true, and lots of people that were very conscious of this had to jerry-build their own pieces of software, hardware to make that happen. This is an off-the-shelf product. It's relatively inexpensive in the guise of a home. Under $10,000 is doable when you're building a home or retrofitting. Its payback is quite quick, and its installation is absolutely easy. It, again, for a qualified electrician, plumber that is, but relatively easy. It's under an hour and this thing is in. I think it's all of those possibilities. It's an off-the-shelf, relatively cheap solution, and it begins this journey of what might be. It's also an interesting commercial use, and that's where we're starting to see it used more than in factories and spaces where the grid might not be. So we'll possibly be able to use this energy where the energy grid isn't at all, which means we can start to repurpose a lot of regional space, a lot of space that isn't to the grid, and that makes it another interesting game changer.
Oh, absolutely. And there are some massive solar projects being scaled up in far north Queensland right now, Morris, which ties in entirely with what you're talking about. Let's just finish off, though, on the other side of the fence. And that is, where are the markets sitting at when when we look forward as far as traditional energy investment is concerned, Morris? You know, is the market making this progressive change as well? Or are we also seeing a very solid future for traditional energy going forward, too?
the strong reality is, unless something markedly changes from a society viewpoint, in other words, unless you and I demand the change, we are going to have the energy sources we have now through to 2050. Despite what everybody says, there is enough energy on this planet, oil, gas, etc., to last us through to almost 2060 right now without new exploration techniques, which we can have already if we wish to. But, and you look at people like Warren Buffett, that great investor, who has just put $9 billion into a takeover for Energy Futures Holding in Texas. Now, I don't know the man, but I've not seen him do anything particularly silly with his money, and he's investing that much money today as a forward strategy for Berkshire to be able to continue to make obscene amounts of money. So he certainly thinks we're in it for the long haul.
Yeah, well, who's going to fight and argue with Warren Buffett when it comes to that particular investment strategy? Who's going to fight with you either, Morris? It's been great to chat via Skype as well this time. I really appreciate it, and we'll catch you in a fortnight.
Look forward to it.
That's Morris Mislowski there, business futurist, Eye on the Future, and Future Curious Times is the online e-magazine that you can also check out. Just search for any of those terms. I guarantee you he shall be the first one that comes up in the returns. Time now, around about 14 minutes to 10.